The journey of ancient Israel, from the time of the Exodus out of Egypt to the time that they arrive in the Promised Land, is such a vital place for us as God's people, as His elect, who have been called to study within our conversion. There is a pair of parallel accounts that God has reserved for us and placed for us in Exodus 17 and Numbers 20. Let's start by going to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, and I'm not going to read all seven verses, but it's Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. And the people were thirsty. Verse 1, it says, there was no water for the people to drink, right at the end of that. So the setting for both of these stories, in both Exodus 17 as well as Numbers 20, is that the people were thirsty. And that's one of the similarities, the things that are in common between the two stories, is that the people were thirsty, and they began to murmur and complain to Moses. They tempted God with some of their statements. Moses then would go to God, who gave him directions on how to approach this. So the murmuring for Exodus 17 occurs in verse 3. And it's summarized with the people saying, wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And the directions that God gave, again, just kind of briefly going through this, Moses was told, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and the people drank. Let's go now to Numbers 20. So in Numbers 20, we could read, you could note verse 2, through verse 13, and then also there's a follow-up note in verse 24. But again, similarly, without reading every verse, the people again were thirsty, and they did chide with Moses. And verse 3, it says, the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought us up out of the congregation, or brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. So they went a lot deeper in this event. So the Exodus 17 was, the timing of it was between the Exodus from Egypt, but before the Ten Commandments were given. So in the first few months of the journey. Well, here we're at the last, the tail end. In my margin, it says this is the first month of the 40th year. So we're right at the end versus right at the beginning. So it's almost, at the entry, we're getting very close to the entry into the Promised Land. But they murmured so much deeper now. Now they're calling, why didn't you let us die with the various brethren in one of the events of death that they saw from the Israelites during this journey? Also they called the place that God had them in an evil place. Again, tempting him, or making a call for figs, vines, and pomegranates, saying there's none of that here, and that's a direct reference to what the fruits that were brought out of the Promised Land so many years prior, where when the spies went into the land and brought it with them some of the fruits, and they brought figs and vines and pomegranates, and the people rejected it, instead believing that there was danger in there and that they should not enter in. So they had the opportunity to go in, but now they're tempting God by saying that none of that is here. So they were much I'd say more aggressive, much more detailed in their murmurings here. And God's direction, verse 7, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly, together thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. So again, he was to take the rod, and this time though, instead of smiting the rock, they were to speak to the rock. And it shall give forth his water, so the rock will give forth his water, and you, Moses and Aaron, shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. They were to bring it to Israel. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. So that's the instructions. And again, that's different. That's not smiting the rock. That's instead speaking. And so he did that. He brought the rod before the Lord and he commanded him. And Moses, as God had commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? God told him to serve the water, and Moses, in frustration, called them rebels and said, must we get this for you? And he lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. So, of course, that is not what God instructed. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation unto the land which I have given me them. And just one following verse, in verse 24, God refers to, because to saying this to Aaron, because you rebelled against my word at the waters of Meribah. So he said they failed to sanctify him, you believe me not, and you have rebelled. These are all things that we could draw from in this example, that we could learn from. We could learn lessons from Israel, and we can learn lessons from Moses and how he acted here. So to start, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:4 and what this is all pointing us to for ancient Israel. Because as we review this and read it from what we could learn from Israel, we need to take the time to think, okay, what can we learn from their actions? And further, are we learning the consequences of their actions? And are we learning from the consequences of our actions? Are we learning from their journey? And how can we parallel that to the spiritual journey that we've been on since our calling? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start in verse 1. Read a few verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Again, our journey starts with our baptism. Verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. So they drank from that spiritual rock. They all drank of the spiritual waters. They all ate of the spiritual food. verse 6, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So while they were given all this spiritual food and spiritual water and drinking of that spiritual rock that was Christ, they continually lusted after evil things. And we need to keep this in mind, because verse 11 says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Israelites were nearly 40 years into their journey in this second account. The foundation of their lives was being born into slavery. They were freed and given a new life by the mercy of God, but they did not learn. They saw many deaths of their fellow Israelites. And as we read in Numbers 20, they are throwing that at God and saying, why didn't you kill us too? They saw great miracles. They saw the fruits of the promised land. And of course, they were right there at the brink of going in, and they decided instead that God could not protect them if there was a trouble, or that God did not properly prepare it for them. They went contrary to God and chose the carnal ways. And of course, they saw the plagues of Egypt. They saw the miraculous opening of the Red Sea, that they could walk right in the bottom of it. But they were never truly freed, or even close to freed, from carnality and sin. Instead, they're at the point, close to 40 years later, at this point, close to 40 years later, and they tempt God on all these points, worse than the first time that God brought forth water from the rock. So that's something that we could really reflect on, is how are we learning from what was recorded here for ancient Israel? And are we learning from our own actions? Are we reflecting on them as we continue through our journey? In regards to Moses and what we could learn from him and his actions in this particular thing and event, we learn a great deal about repentance. We learn a great deal about carnal nature from King David and the story with him and Uriah and Bathsheba. We also have a lot to learn, of course, from Moses. We can see years prior and throughout, he's been patient at times. He's been a strong leader. He pleaded for mercy from God for ancient Israel when God had been ready to wipe them out and start fresh with Moses. But in this situation, he was frustrated. And God, delivered consequences for that. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, just for a brief scripture on what we must aim to do. Because God told Moses that he did not believe him. He told him that he rebelled, and he told him he missed an opportunity to sanctify God in the eyes of Israel. And that's what we need to do. We need to sanctify God in our actions and by the way we live, which includes consistent obedience to his law and his ways. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, again, just briefly, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That's what we're to do. And that's what we need to strive for continually. And it should be on display in our actions and by the way we live. And we should do it, of course, by obedience. So that's what we need to learn from in regards to what occurred with Moses in this situation, how he lived his life as a humble servant of God throughout leading Israel. And then, of course, what we need to learn from Israel as well. One final scripture. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. Again, here it speaks of waters, and both of these accounts are regarding waters and the spiritual water that flowed from the rock, whether it was the first one that was smitten or the second one that was ended up being smitten but was intended to be spoken to. Jesus answered in verse 13 of John 4, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So as we consider this contrast between ancient Israel and their leader, a carnal nation, and their spiritual leader, we know that ancient Israel was described, and what they were drinking was, what they were receiving from it was basically verse 13. They drank of water and they continually thirst again. But Moses was a spiritual leader. He did have the everlasting life in him, and we know that he has a special place reserved for him in the eternal promised land that's just ahead of us. So we can learn from that. We can learn from these things, and we know which type of water we need to seek. We need to yield to God and drink in his word and let that water flow out from us. And this is a contrast between Moses and Israel that we can learn from. We can learn from, of course, what the consequences of his actions in this moment, but we could even better learn from his whole life as a leader and how God used him. And while we receive and have received at our calling, at our baptism, the Holy Spirit that flows in us, we also must continually yield to God and his way of life, reasserting ourselves to God's way daily, to follow him, to learn, and to sanctify him in how we live our lives.